here is a man with extraordinary gifts. A man who at one time used these gifts in the cause of the Lord's anointed. And now he is deploying these gifts in the cause of the great rebellion. Isn't that a tragedy? In what cause are your gifts being deployed? That's the question that arises here.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we know from Scripture that God has given each and every one of us gifts and talents. Sounds like you're saying the big question to ask is, how are you going to use them?
That's exactly right. And more particularly, in whose service are you going to use them? We're looking at the story of King David's closest friend and wisest counselor. And the tragedy of this man's life is he becomes the Judas of the Old Testament. He goes over to the other side. He abandons King David and he signs up with Absalom, goes over to the other side, and it's an absolute tragedy and a disaster. So here's the challenge that comes out of the story for all of us today. You know, whatever your gifts are, don't sell yourself short. What you want to do is to use your gifts for the highest purpose, and that means deploying them for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Lord. I hope you'll have a vision for that today, and that you'll say, whatever God has entrusted to me, I want to use for Him and for His glory alone.
Well, let's look at this story from 2 Samuel chapter 17 as we begin a message entitled, Counsel. Here is Pastor Colin.
We are following the story of Absalom's rebellion against his father David. And the important thing to remember here is that David was God's anointed king. And that means that when Absalom rebelled against David, he was really rebelling against God. And so what this story shows us is how rebellion against God begins, how it grows, and indeed where it ends. And as we take up the story today, we're going to see what happened on the very same day that David left Jerusalem. Because perhaps within just a few hours of David leaving, he went east across the Kidron and up the Mount of Olives and then on towards the Jordan. So as he leaves to the east, Absalom arrives with a vast army. There's reference in verse 1 to 12,000. So that number at least immediately with him and available to him. They arrived from the south, from Hebron, where he had been recognized and where he had been gathering people to himself. And the timing of the anointed king leaving and the self-appointed king arriving seems to be very close. If you look at chapter 15 and verse 14, you see this. David, as he's preparing to go, there's a real rush to get out of Jerusalem before Absalom arrives. David said to the servants who were with him, "Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom." We've got to get out of here, he's saying, before Absalom arrives. And he's coming very soon. So go quickly, lest he overtake us. We can't afford to be here when he arrives. Otherwise, it's all done for. Lest he overtake us and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. So this is high drama. The anointed king leaves to the east. The self-appointed king arrives from the south with all of the people, the men of Israel, chapter 16 and verse 15. Now, at this point in the story, we are introduced to two men who become central and pivotal to what happens next. Both of them are counselors. The name of one is Ahithophel and the name of the other is Hushai. Chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16. And Absalom and all the people of Israel came to Jerusalem and Ahithophel was with him. And when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king, long live the king." So this is a story about two counselors. Now, here's what you need to know about each of them. First, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a fountain of wisdom. We've noticed this earlier in the series, chapter 16 and verse 23. In those days, the counsel of Ahithophel, notice that word. In those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed both by David and by Absalom. Both David and Absalom realized that this man really was a fount of wisdom. Ahithophel for many years had been David's counselor. But he had abandoned the palace and had gone back to his own hometown, a little place called Gilo. We can guess at the reason for this. Because this man, Ahithophel, was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And I suspect that part of the price that David paid for his sin with Bathsheba was that he lost the confidence and the support of her grandfather, the fount of wisdom, the counselor, the wise strategist, this man Ahithophel, who for many years had been by his side. So Ahithophel leaves him and goes back to the little hometown of Gilo. And then when Absalom raises his rebellion, he reaches out and lures this man, Ahithophel, to come and to join him. And so now we have the man who is the fount of wisdom, and he is lending his support to the great rebellion. Now let's just pause here for a moment and think about this. Here is a man with extraordinary gifts. A man who at one time used these gifts in the cause of the Lord's anointed. And now he is deploying these gifts in the cause of the great rebellion. Isn't that a tragedy? In what cause are your gifts being deployed? That's the question that arises here. Now, when Ahithophel came over to Absalom, he didn't cease to be a gifted and a wise counselor. And this was precisely what worried David. If Absalom has the fount of wisdom beside him, he's going to know exactly what to do. And that is why when David was told that Ahithophel had gone over to Absalom, the first thing he did was to pray. It was the only thing he could do. Chapter 15 and verse 31. Oh God, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Lord, unless you do something, then Absalom, leading this rebellion, will have the fount of wisdom beside him, and he'll know how the rebellion will succeed. And if the rebellion succeeds, then I will be done for. So please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, that prayer was going to be wonderfully answered by the Lord, as we're going to see today. And the Lord answered David's prayer through the second counselor, this man by the name of Hushai. Ahithophel and Hushai. Now, Hushai was David's loyal friend. We have that in chapter 15 and verse 37. So whereas Ahithophel left David, Hushai remained loyal to God's anointed king. And if you look in chapter 15 and verse 32, you'll see that when David, leaving Jerusalem out to the east across the Kidron Brook and up the Mount of Olives, gets towards the summit, at that very moment, this man, Hushai, his loyal friend, shows up. And we read this: while David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat torn and dirt on his head, which of course was the sign of mourning. And David would have been in the same state. He's barefoot and his clothes would have been torn too, and dirt on his head, no doubt. Everyone's mourning, and the very appearance of this man is communicating, David, I'm with you. I'm in the grief and the sorrow of this with you. And Hushai, loyal as he is ready to give up everything, leave Jerusalem, and go with the king into exile. But David has a better plan and a higher purpose for this man, Hushai. Chapter 15, verse 34. David says to him, now, if you return to the city, and if you say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, then you will defeat for me the counsel of Ahithophel. Hushai, David says, the best thing you can do for me right now is not to leave your job and come with me into exile. The best thing you can do for me right now is go back into that dark place and be my eyes and ears there. The very best thing that you can do is go right back into Absalom's palace. That's the darkest place. That's the heart of the rebellion. I want you to go back there. And perhaps you can speak in such a way that will divert Absalom away from following what will surely be strategic counsel that will be given to him by Ahithophel. That was a tough calling, because Hushai was going into the palace to act as what we would call today a double agent. That's what he is. This is a spy story in the Old Testament scriptures, and it's an absolutely fascinating story. So now we have two counselors. One is the fount of wisdom, the brilliant strategist who seems always to know exactly what to do for any purpose to succeed, and he's now giving himself to a wretched purpose to tell that purpose how to succeed. And the other one is a spy, and he's loyal to God's anointed king, and he, at great risk to himself, goes right into the heart of the rebellion.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Counsel, part of our series on the life of David. If you ever miss a broadcast or you want to go back and listen again, you can do that at our website, openthebible.org. You know, this is one story, the story of the life of David. It's one of many in the Bible story. You know, a lot of us may know stories about Noah and the flood, or Jonah and the big fish, or the walls of Jericho that come tumbling down, or maybe some stories about Jesus in the New Testament. But you don't understand how all those stories fit together in the Bible story. So we put together a section of the website that will take you all the way through the Bible, showing how it's one story that begins in a garden, ends in a city, and the whole way through it points to Jesus. I want to encourage you to come. Check out Open the Bible Story at our website, openthebible.org. We have three different journeys through the Bible story. One is just a quick three-session journey. Also, a 30-session and a 50-session if you want to go a little bit deeper. Again, look for Open the Bible Story when you visit our website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want you to picture the scene then back in Jerusalem. It's just a few hours. David's now over the top of the hill, and he's making his journey on east towards the Jordan. And back in Jerusalem, Absalom has arrived with all his forces from the south. The new administration moves into the palace, and now the self-appointed king calls in the fount of wisdom, Ahithophel. Okay, there's a new administration. We're here. Now I need your advice. Give me your counsel. What should we do? What should be our first move? In chapter 17 and verse 1, Ahithophel proposes a plan of immediate action. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men," which shows how many were immediately available, "and I will arise and pursue David tonight." We've got to act right away. And the reasons for this immediate pursuit of David were very obvious, and Ahithophel lays them out. Verse 2, "I will come upon him while he's weary." Let's go after him while he's tired. He's at his most vulnerable right now. This is the time when we should go after him. Immediate action. He's going to be tired from the journey. His own people are going to be discouraged, verse 2. I'll throw him into a panic. He's disoriented right now. He's traveling. He's not on familiar turf. He's not been able to establish a base. He's just on the move. He's at his lowest point, his most vulnerable. We got to go. We got to strike tonight. And Ahithophel's plan was not only for immediate action, it was for a focused objective. The elimination of David was the single objective of this mission that he proposed. We have to take out one person, and that one person was God's anointed king. Verse 2 and 3, "I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband." So Ahithophel's plan is what we would call in military terms today an immediate surgical strike. That's what we do. We go in now, we go in hard, and we go in with one objective. We're not trying to wipe out the people who are with him. We're just after one man. And you see the force of what Ahithophel is saying. Now, Absalom, what you don't want to happen here is for this to descend into a long and prolonged civil war. Can't allow that to happen. We don't want the people fighting against their own. We got to move before that happens. Because what we need to do here, says this man, is simply eliminate one person. And this is really a commando mission, and it's got to be undertaken immediately. Now, there is no question that if Absalom's rebellion was going to succeed, this was the way in which it would happen. From Absalom's point of view, from the rebellion's point of view, this was, quote, good advice. In fact, the scripture even uses that phrase in verse 14. It speaks of the good counsel of Ahithophel. Good, that is, not in the sense that it was honorable. Because remember, what Ahithophel was proposing was a wicked plan. He was proposing taking the life of God's anointed king. Ahithophel is saying to Absalom, you eliminate the Lord's anointed. That was precisely what David always refused to do with regards to Saul. You remember, David says, I won't lift a finger against him because he is the Lord's anointed. And now here is this man, Ahithophel, and saying, well, that may have been what David did with Saul, but you follow my advice. The way to secure your rebellion is to deal with him and him only, and to do it now. Taking the life of David would have been the ultimate act of defiance against God. So the counsel was good, you understand, only in the sense that if Absalom's rebellion was going to succeed, this undoubtedly was the day and the way to do it. Now, it is extraordinary in the flow of Scripture, the way in which themes from stories that point forward to Jesus reappear when we come to the story of our Lord Jesus that, of course, is at the very center of Scripture. And I wonder if you've noticed this. At the Last Supper, when Jesus then comes away from the upper room, and remember, he goes down into the Kidron, crosses the Kidron Brook, and is on the Mount of Olives. Here's what we read in Matthew 26 and verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now, do you see, that is exactly what Ahithophel proposed to Absalom. Strike the shepherd. And if you strike the shepherd, all of his little band of followers, they'll all be scattered. And of course, that's exactly what happened, isn't it? In the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. And extraordinarily, picking up this theme, John records in his gospel that Caiaphas advised, that's counseling language, Caiaphas advised in these words, it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. In other words, the counsel of Caiaphas was a repetition of the counsel of Ahithophel. Go for it. No, here we are in Jerusalem. We can't have a tumult of the people taking sides over this man. We can't allow that to happen. What we've got to do is we've got to go after this person. Surgical strike. Let's take him out. And that led to the cross, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The counsel of Ahithophel, repeated by Caiaphas, strike the shepherd, surgical strike, just take him out, all the rest of them will be scattered. And that's at the very heart of the story of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, clearly, there was general agreement when Ahithophel laid out this plan. Immediate and focused action. Verse 4, the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. And now we come to the turning point of the whole story. Because if the advice seemed right, and the advice was for immediate action, why did Absalom not simply say, do it, do it, do it? But notice what he did instead. Verse 5, then Absalom said, call Hushai, the other counselor. Call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say. And so Ahithophel, the fount of wisdom, having been heard, is dismissed. And Hushai is called in. And Absalom has no idea whatsoever that at this moment he is actually listening to the counsel of a spy. Isn't that amazing? Well, when Hushai came in, Absalom might have said to him, okay, give me your advice, what should I do? But he didn't do that. He actually made it much easier for Hushai, because we're told here that Absalom said to him, thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? In other words, Absalom laid out all of Ahithophel's plan and asked effectively for a second opinion. That's what he's doing here. And let's just pause here for another point for us to pick up. You know, Absalom plunged to disaster. We'll get to that next week. He plunged to disaster because he failed to follow through on the advice that he received. Thank God for that, because remember, we want this rebellion to fail because the story is about how God preserves his own anointed. But there is a principle here that we shouldn't pass over, that we can apply to our own lives. And it's simply this: when you receive wise counsel and fail to act on it, you put yourself in a dangerous position. That was actually Absalom's destruction. In a wretched cause, he was told how it could succeed, and he doesn't follow through on the counsel that he's given. He seeks another opinion. And he puts himself in a very dangerous position indeed. Notice what Hushai says to Absalom. This time the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good. He shows great respect to Ahithophel. We all know that he's the fount of wisdom. And that normally what he says is exactly the strategy that a wise person would pursue. He knows how to get any cause done. But I have to tell you, Absalom, on this occasion he ain't got it right. His advice this time is not good. And I want you to notice then, from the counsel that Hushai gives, which, remember, is to divert him away from the plan by which he would succeed. I want you to notice from that then, two distinguishing marks of bad counsel. This is the counsel that actually, in this case, thankfully, but nonetheless diverts Absalom away from the cause that would lead him to success. And I want you to notice two marks of this bad counsel. The first is that it plays on unfounded fear. And the second is that it appeals to unbridled pride.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, and a helpful look at how we can know we might be getting bad advice, how it plays on fear and appeals to pride. Our message today is called Counsel, and it's from a larger series on the life of David. In this part of the series, we've been focusing on his troubles. I hope you'll join us for the second half of this message. But if you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream a program or download the MP3 for free. You can also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app, which is also free, and you'll find that at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, this ministry is listener-supported, and that's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you an audio series called Listener Favorites. These are the most requested, downloaded, and streamed messages of the past 12 months. We put them together in this 10-part series, Listener Favorites. And some of the topics in this series, we're going to take a look at how we can overcome our fears, what to do when you feel like giving up, how to make progress in the Christian life, and look at the question, will we know one another in heaven? We'd love to send you a copy of this series as our way of saying thanks for your financial support. You can find out more or give online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. How does God restrain evil and advance His purpose in the world? Find out next time. on Open the Bible Weekend.